From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, insights from a task force meeting looking to lower the rate at which prisoners in the state reoffend. We'll also look at a fire in Rapid City that happened yesterday. It's Thursday, December 18th. Here are today's stories. Advocates say changes within South Dakota's prison system can't come soon enough. However, the impact of any changes won't be fully seen for years. Here's the latest on South Dakota's Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force. After South Dakota approved passage of the new men's penitentiary in Sioux Falls, the focus for many lawmakers became clear: fixing the rehabilitative efforts of the Department of Corrections. Accordingly, Governor Larry Rodin created a task force to do just that. At the Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force's December 17th meeting, members said the time to act is now. That includes T. Senator Ernie Otten. He discussed the state setting aside money now to support rehabilitation in the DOC.
And I think fundamentally, we're working on something that will change the entire structure of South Dakota itself and how we deal with this stuff. You'll never see an opportunity like this again, ever.
Lawmakers say that investment could save the taxpayer more money in the long run if fewer prisoners reoffend after being released. Sarah Friedman is the program director for the Council of State Governments Justice Center, a third-party consultant for the task force. She says South Dakota tracks recidivism on a three-year rate, and most programs can take a year to start up.
So you all are just a long way. The like feedback is not, there's not immediate feedback of is this working when it comes to reducing recidivism rates specifically.
However, she says there are other ways to see if a new program is working the way it's intended to.
You can look at improvements in institutional behavior. I think that's a really important one, especially given everything going on. That, you know, if a program improves institutional behavior, I think that would be successful in some ways. Once people are out in the community, you can look at other indicators that are not a three-year, how do they come back? So are they maintaining stable housing? Are they maintaining stable employment? Are they stopping their drug use?
While the new prison is expected to have additional operating costs annually, the exact number isn't hashed out yet for what the programming costs could be. For more details on the group's discussion, visit sdpb.org/news. Rapid City fire crews battled multiple blazes and high winds Wednesday afternoon. Responders are still gathering information about what caused the fires. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
The three fires burned along Skyline Drive, a high-income residential neighborhood on the west side of Rapid City, sparking just after 1:30 in the afternoon. Rapid City Fire Department Public Information Officer Tessa Yeager says these burned close enough to combine.
It was reported as three separate fires that turned into two separate fires after two of those had combined. We had reports of downed power lines. A caller reported a possible electrical transformer explosion. Right now, the exact cause remains under investigation.
While those are unverified reports, some West Rapid streetlights were down during the afternoon and required police presence. However, most power was still on for most of the area. This fire came the same day much of the Black Hills were in a high wind advisory, a complication Yeager says was handled by the responding crews.
When you have a fire and then this wind, it pushes that fire very quickly, making it grow quicker. So that definitely makes it more difficult for firefighters to fight the blaze. So makes it more difficult for sure, but they definitely did a really good job at getting it under control as quickly as they did.
A fire line has stopped the forward progress of the fire. No evacuation orders are in place and no structures are threatened. Despite this, heavy fire activity was ongoing at Skyline Drive as of Wednesday afternoon.
Due to the ongoing operations and the downed power lines, we still are asking people to avoid the area, allow firefighters to work safely.
RCFD plans to remain on scene to monitor the area for hotspots. The precise size of the fire had not been determined as of Wednesday afternoon. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The Department of Health is alerting the public to the risk of measles exposure at the Rapid City Regional Airport last week. The announcement says a Butte County resident with a confirmed measles infection was at the airport from 10:45 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. on December 10th. The health department is urging anyone who was at the airport during that time to self-monitor for symptoms through December 31st. Early measles symptoms include a runny nose, cough, and red, sensitive eyes. The second stage of symptoms include a high fever and blotchy rash. People who are not immune and may have been exposed should contact their healthcare provider to discuss protective options. State epidemiologist Joshua Clayton says in a statement, any South Dakotan who hasn't been immunized through vaccination or past infection can get the MMR vaccine to prevent a measles infection. The federal trial connected to the Grand Gateway Hotel in Rapid City has entered jury selection. This trial is connected to a social media post in 2022 from family connected to the hotel's ownership group claiming Indigenous peoples would be banned from the property. Attorneys claim the hotel discriminated based on race of clientele, contending Native Americans were unable to book a room at the hotel. In turn, attorneys representing the hotel's parent company contend the post did not influence actual policy of the facility. A ruling is expected in this case by the end of the week. A teacher apprenticeship program aiming to increase the number of teachers in the state is announcing 15 new graduates. The South Dakota Teacher Apprenticeship Pathway, or TAP, program now has more than 70 graduates. The TAP program allows paraprofessionals currently working in a school, such as teacher's aides, to earn a teaching certificate while still working. Participants earn a bachelor's degree in elementary education, special education, or secondary education. The program gives enrollees a discounted degree at Dakota State University and Northern State University over a 2 to 3 year period. The Department of Education says it eliminates financial barriers for prospective educators. It also allows participants to stay and work in their hometown while earning a degree. This fall, 15 participants from communities across the state graduated from DSU. The Oldham Ramona Rutland School District has narrowly survived a dissolution vote. According to the Brookings Register, unofficial results from Tuesday's election showed a tie. 363 voters supported dissolving the school district and 363 opposed it. Then, on Wednesday afternoon, four provisional ballots were counted. All four were against dissolution. The election could face a recount petition, as four votes is well within the margin required for a recount. Sports and culture combine in Rapid City this week for the 48th annual Lakota Nation Invitational. SDPB's Your Morning in Play highlights the basketball tournament at the heart of the unique event.
Welcome to another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason and Dara. You know, it wouldn't be basketball season without the Lakota Nation Invitational that is in full action this week out in Rapid City. It's one of the, you know, there's a lot of different invitational classic, you know, showcase types events this time of year when it comes to basketball throughout the state. But LNI, the Lakota Nation Invitational, is 48th year in existence now, which is just incredible to think about. But there's something about this event that is just, there's more to it than just kids playing basketball.
There's nothing like it in the world. It truly is one of the more unique events in the world, because you've got, you know, basketball tournaments going on, you've got wrestling, you've got the arts, you've got culture, you've got hand games, you've got everything you could want all in one place. And it's definitely worth taking in if you haven't had a chance to do it. And like you said, 48th year of it, it keeps getting bigger and stronger each and every year. Really, the celebration is about excellence and unity, and you see that not only on the basketball courts, but on all the other events that surround this.
Yeah, and it's not even just one of the biggest basketball tournaments that we have in the state of South Dakota. Like, this is a nationally, this is one of the biggest events you're ever going to find that has high school basketball involved
in it. Yeah, you've got a 16-team bracket for the girls' basketball, a 16-team bracket for boys' basketball, and then an additional 16-team bracket that they play out called challenge games for other teams that want a chance to get into the mix too. So, it's a big enough deal where you can play games on, three different courts that they can play on for basically 4 days straight.
Yeah, and they're always looking at ways to try to, you know, could maybe this building would also be available. You know, Brian Brewer's always looking at ways to, how do we get more teams in here? How can we adjust the brackets to pull something like that off? So, you know, and this is me just completely guessing, but looking at it being the 48th year, knowing that the 50th is coming up, I'm sure there are some conversations taking place about doing something incredible here in a couple years.
Well, they've already done a ton of incredible things. Last year, Becky Hammond came over and it was part of the extravaganza this year. Great basketball on the court. And, that's the part I pay attention to the most, but there's so much more going on. But you've got some stars with two players who play with Native schools who are going on to play Division I basketball next year, and Ashley Carlo Blunt and Marvin Richard III, two all-time greats who will be on the court for both the boys and the girls' side.
And they're both going to USD.
Both going to USD. Got to keep them in state.
Yeah, that's a big credit to, you know, what we really enjoy with our jobs too, Jandy, is getting the opportunity to watch a lot of these kids, you know, in boys and girls basketball. And then they graduate high school and they're at USF, they're at Augie, they're at Black Hill State, School of Mines, Dakota Wesleyan, Dakota State Northern, or they're, you know, in Brookings at SDSU or down in Vermilion at USD. And, you know, I think South Dakota as a whole does a really good job of keeping kids in state for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. And events like this, you get to see some of that talent that we have on the high school level. And even those players who just play high school, what a great stage to be able to play on at the LNI. Yes, we're looking forward to these players going on to doing big things in college, but just the raw enjoyment that you see, you know, and it can be any of these games throughout the day too, that can turn into great entertaining games, and love to see it. Love to see that type of competition with that type of culture, with that type of unity going on throughout this event.
Well, we also highlighted some of the other classics and invitationals that are taking place between now through New Year's. We recorded an SDPB game time show. You can search for that on YouTube, and it also will air. Game time airs also every Wednesday night on SDPB at 10 Central, 9 Mountain. So you can go check that out as we kind of go in depth with some of these classics. But what a fun time of the year for all of these teams. You see B opponents facing A opponents. You got just teams from out of state that are coming in, which makes it fun.
You got, you know, small town classics, everything from Coleman to Parkston, and then you've got great stuff going on in Aberdeen and Rapid City. And Mitchell has great classics. So, yeah, loads of fun.
Yeah, loads of fun. It's what makes this part of the year great. So go check that out. That's Jason Andair. I'm Nate Weck. This has been your Morning in Play.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.